In Jesus' name, everybody saying amen. Well, the story of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of prevailing against all odds. The story of Israel is the story of prevailing against all odds. So, as a matter of fact, the life of Jesus is a big perpetual testimony of prevailing against all odds of life. And if there was nothing else that Jesus actually came to establish through his life, death, and resurrection, it was this. And that was prevailing against all odds. And so there is no such thing in life as a hopeless situation. There is no such a thing as reaching the end of the road. Nothing is so badly broken that God cannot fix. And no one is so far gone that God cannot redeem and God cannot restore them. And so if you look at your life today and you feel that the odds are stacked against you, if you feel that you're swimming against the current of life, if you are climbing uphill with weight tied around your neck, I want you to pause for a moment and examine the Easter story. I want you to stop for a little while and take in the testimony of Jesus and take a look at how he prevailed against all the odds that I was staked against his life. Look at his birth. What were the chances that a virgin will give birth? Absolutely none. But when angel Gabriel came to announce the birth of Jesus, he said to Mary, he says, "Behold, I stand and I remain in the presence of God." And these are the credentials that are needful to demonstrate that the impossible can become possible by the power of God. He prevailed against all odds. Look at his childhood. When Jesus was 2 years old, Herod ordered the execution of all the male children who were in Bethlehem and his surrounding district in order to get to Jesus. What were the chances that Jesus would escape the murderous plot of Herod? Very slim. But at the time of the massacre, Jesus was with his parents in Egypt. He prevailed against all odds. Look at his ministry. What were the chances that a man will walk on water? Fed 5,000 with little boy's lunch, sardine and crackers. Cleansed the lepers. Heal the blind, raise the dead, and do all the things that he did, next to none. Yet Jesus did all that, all those things to fulfill the prophecies. He prevailed against all odds. Look at the prophecies. Every important detail about the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus had been prophesied actually literally 100 years before he came. Actually, Zechariah, if you read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, tells us this. He says, "Rejoice, O greatly, daughter of Zion." He says, "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you." He says, "He's just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, this was 500 years before Christ was born. When the prophet saw Jesus coming riding on a donkey into Jerusalem on that very first day of Passion Week towards the cross to pay the redemption of mankind, every important details about his life, his birth, where he will be born, where he will grow up, the betrayal, the other disciples are forsaking him, the false accusation, the beating, the mockery, the fact that he will be killed with criminals, that they will gamble for his clothes, that none of his bones will be broken, where he will die, even where he will be buried. In fact, there are 332 distinct prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. So what are the mathematical probabilities and possibilities that all these prophecies will be fulfilled in the life of one man? Absolutely none. Yet every one of them was fulfilled to the very detail that God described. He prevailed against all odds. You see, long even before he went to that cross, the devil had been working overtime to kill Jesus. He tried to get him to throw himself down from the top of a building. He tried to get people to push him over a cliff. But Jesus prevailed against all odds. Trouble with me this morning, 2,000 years ago, this past Thursday night, Jesus and his disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Suddenly there were torches as the Roman soldiers sneaked in their way into the garden, and then came Judas and gave him the cast of a kiss and betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. The guards quickly arrested Jesus, and as they were leaving, you could see through the torches the shining of the sword of Simon Peter as he was cutting the ear of the servant of the high priest. And it was then that Jesus rebuked him and said, "Don't do that, for my kingdom is not a kingdom of violence, but it is a kingdom of peace and reconciliation." And then he reached down and performed his last healing miracle when Jesus picked that ear up and put it back to that servant ear. Then they took him. That malicious mob, the Pharisees, those that were called the Sanhedrin, they were the vicious, godless mob, and they took him to Pilate. And Pilate looked at the evidence against him, and three different times he said, "He is innocent." He said, "I find no fault in him," but they slapped him and made fun of him, and then he passed him off to Herod. Then Herod, man of war, began to slap Jesus. They ripped the hair from his beard. They tore the robe off from his back. They put a cruel crown of thorns on his head and put a robe of mockery on him. They spit on him. They slapped him with their hands, and then they took him back to Pilate. It was there that Pilate gave him the scourging with a cat of nine tails, the leather strip, the steel, the bone that ripped through his flesh, shredding his back. Then they sentenced him to death and placed on his back the old rugged cross. And Jesus began to drag that cross across down the cable stones of Jerusalem, carrying it heavily, and under the weight he dropped. And Simon of Cyrene picked that cross up and began to carry it for him. And there was Jesus, the Son of God, went to that place called Calvary, and he carried it, and he hung on that cross, suspended between heaven and earth. When they nailed his hands and crossed his feet and nailed his feet, there was the Son of God from Friday 12 afternoon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus Christ was in a torture that we cannot imagine. And finally, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus pushed for the last time on that nail, on that cross. He took the last breath and he said this word, "Father," he says, "forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And he cried out, "It is finished." And his body slammed, and Jesus, the Son of God, died for the sins of the world. His devoted followers took his body down that cross and placed it in the tomb of Joseph the Arimathea. They put all over the ointment of 100 pounds of ointment upon his body, and as it was the custom of the Jews for that day. And they rolled the stone in front of that grave and put the majestic seal of Rome. And guards were hired to make sure that no one steal the body of Jesus Christ. All night, Friday night, Saturday night, the demons in hell rejoice. The politicians applauded. They thought that now they have stopped. The resurrection is from Galilee. The disciples scattered in terror. In memory of this corpse on the cross, this man, they journeyed with them for 3.5 years. This was the man who had walked on the water. This was the man who had fed the multitudes. This was the man who had cast out demons by the power of his word and calmed the raging sea. This was the man who had called the dead back to life. This was the man who had cleansed the lepers. But now it was a lifeless corpse. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was weeping without consolation. The Roman guards were hired, and they were there watching to make sure that there was no way Jesus will get out. And Satan, I believe, was laughing in the chambers of hell as the Son of God was incarcerated in that tomb. And at that moment, death was still powerful. At that moment, the grave was still a gloomy pit. But then came the dawning of the third day, that first Easter Sunday morning, when the angel of the Lord all of a sudden descended from heaven and broke the seal and rolled the stone away and sat on top of the stone. And at that moment, Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead, and 100 million of voices strong in heaven began to sing and cry out, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory, honor, and praise." And Jesus walked out, and before he did, he folded his grave clothes and laid them neatly at the corner of that grave, walked out, and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "He that believe in me will never die. He prevailed against all odds." And today, ladies and gentlemen, we are champions over death. We are champions over life. We are champions over sin. We are champions over the past, because Christ prevailed against all odds. And because Jesus Christ is alive, he prevailed. And so because he prevailed against all odds, so can you. Why? Because the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is residence inside of you. Romans 8:11 tells us that the same spirit that quickened Jesus from the dead, he says, is residence inside of you. What are the obstacles, the limitation, the barriers, the odds that are stacked against you today? You can prevail against them. You see, the mere fact that you are born is already proof that you can prevail against every odd in your life. The chances that your conception actually happened in a specific way did were 1 to 30 million, and yet God approved you. And so you can prevail. Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Ancient of Days, the unchanging changer. So his resurrection power gives you the power to prevail against the odds of the past, the present, and the future. Let's examine a few of them this morning. Let's start with the first one. His resurrection power gives you the power to prevail against the odds of traumatic past. Today, you may be the victim of a traumatic past. Perhaps you grew up in a dysfunctional family or a dysfunctional home. Maybe you even feel that something maybe you're not even proud. Give me 1 second here. All right. Maybe your family is not the one you're particularly proud of. Maybe you even feel that something inside you got broken while you were growing up. And now you have concluded that what is broken cannot be fixed. Maybe you lost something many years ago, your dignity, your self-esteem, your peace, your security, and your stability. And you have concluded that what is lost can no longer be found. And you may look at your life today and you feel like damaged goods. You have suffered so much shame, abuse, manipulation, and control that you don't even believe in yourself anymore. Maybe you feel like the young man who shared this experience with his pastor. He says, I spend my entire growing up years feeling invisible in my family. There was no abuse or other stuff like that going on. I just felt invisible. I just wanted to walk around and say, hello, I'm here. I'm a little person with love, starved heart. Will you please just notice me and see me and convince me that I matter so that I can get on with living my life? But it never happened. See, today, you can tap into the resurrection power of Jesus and prevail against those odds. The next thing that the resurrection power gives you the power to prevail against is the odds of turbulent present. Maybe your growing up years were okay, but right now it seems like anything that can go wrong is going wrong in your life. Perhaps you have lost your loved one to death or divorce. Perhaps your health has come under attack and you have been told you'll make it. Perhaps it is your finances, it is your job, your business that has gone under through in the midst of this COVID. It may even be your peace of mind or your home that the devil is after. Maybe you're struggling with sinful habit, a destructive secret that you dare not let people know to know about. Maybe it's an addiction that is robbing you of your dignity and your future. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's cigarettes, sex, pornography, or something else. You look at yourself and you feel that you're trapped for life. And you've tried several times and failed. And you've concluded that there is no point of trying. Now, all you're doing is trying to make sure that nobody finds out. But the truth is, your habit is already telling on you. So you may feel that the odds are stacked against you in your present. But today, you can draw on that same power that brought Jesus out of the grave and prevail against any turbulent present, whatever things that you may be going through right now. But thirdly also, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ give you the power to prevail against the odds of hopeless future. See, sometimes because of the nature of your past and present, it seems like there is no hope for the future. And at best, you see yourself pushing through life without making any impact. No significant contribution, no noble snapshots, just living an ordinary, mundane kind of life, trying to survive and pay the bills. Or worse still, you look into the future and something tells you things will be worse. You are going downhill and you'll be forgotten forever. Remember that Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is not only the Lord, not only the Lord Jesus in your past and present, but also in your future. If you prevail against all odds, so can you. but you have a part to play. You see, in the New Testament, the resurrection is always referred to in two tenses. There is the passive tense, and the passive tense is God raised him up. That is Acts chapter 2, verse 24. God raised him up. But there is also an active tense, and it says Jesus rose from the dead, Romans 14:9. So if you must prevail against all odds, both must be present. God will raise you up, but you must also rise. The decision is yours. You see, in 1829, a man by the name of George Wilson robbed the mail carrier and killed him. And he was sentenced to die, but he received a presidential pardon. But to the shock of the Oval Office, he rejected the pardon. The president of the United States had set him free. George Wilson said no. So the case went to the Supreme Court, and the issue was simply this. If the president of the United States give you a pardon, are you pardoned? Can you reject a pardon given by the sovereign? And then Chief Justice Marshall rendered the decision, and it simply went. It says, a pardon rejected is not a pardon at all, unless the recipient of the pardon accept the pardon. The pardon cannot be applied, not because he was not truly offered, but because the pardon, he said, has two sides to it, the offerer and the offeree. So he said, accept the offeree, accept the offer from the offerer, then the pardon cannot be mandated. You see, ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago on the cross, the eternal God, having been satisfied by the death of his son, has offered every man and every woman and every boy and every girl a pardon. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whatsoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. He offered a pardon. But in order for the pardon to be effective, the pardon must be accepted. Do you want to accept it today? Do you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Because he paid the penalty for your sin. If you do so, please pray this prayer, simple prayer after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself, but you offered me the gift of eternal life in exchange for my sins. So I place my sin next to your cross, believing that you died as my substitute. And I receive now the gift of eternal life that you say that you will give me. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus prevailed against all odds. You too can experience the same this Easter season.